Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the world we live in. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. In today's teaching, Pastor Brian continues in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How do we know what we are doing is what God created us to do? What happens when we take God at His word? Today's teaching, Pastor Brian will walk us through God's plan in a message called, This is the Will of God. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Stop allowing the world to mold you into its image. And this is what the world does. The fads, the fashions, the philosophies of the world are all orchestrated, according to Ephesians chapter 2, by Satan himself. And so he's behind the scenes orchestrating these things, and he is working through this system to try to press everybody into a particular mold. And Paul says to the early Christians, he says, stop allowing yourself to be molded into the image of the world. Translated here, do not be conformed to this world. Now, when we read that, do not be conformed to this world, we might have in our minds a certain idea of what that would look like. And oftentimes, I think we would have in our minds that that looks like something blatantly sinful or some vice or wickedness that we're not to conform to. And certainly that would be included, but it's more subtle than that. It's not necessarily that only. It's more subtle. What is the chief mark of the man or woman of this world? The chief mark is not sexual immorality. The chief mark is not, you know, covetousness or, you know, some of the things that we might think. The chief mark of the man or woman of this world is a life lived independent of God's influence. And so when Paul is saying not to be conformed to this world, he's basically telling us not to fall into that subtle trap of allowing the world to influence the way we think and the way we behave and the way we make decisions and things like that. I have seen many times over the years in the church, Christian people who are in some ways, unbeknownst to them, allowing themselves to be conformed to the world. I say unbeknownst to them because in a lot of ways they don't realize it because they're not thinking of the subtlety of the world system. They're thinking of it more in the obvious, blatant, gross manifestations of sin rather than the more subtle idea of human independence from the influence of God over our lives. You see, the thing that we have to realize is that what we have given ourselves over to as believers is a life of total dependence upon the Lord. That's what he's looking for. And that is how we refuse to conform to this world. I cannot obey this exhortation if I'm the kind of person who says, well, you know what, I'm going to make up my own mind about that. Or, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. Or, well, you know, I'm just going to go my own way on this. That is the language of those who are conformed to the world. They're living independent of God's influence. But the language of those who are not being conformed is the language of dependency. It says, well, you know, I'd like to do this, but I want to seek the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray about it and find out what God has for me. Well, I don't want to go this way just because it looks good to me, because, you know, God might have something else. You see, what we have to realize as believers, and what we will realize as we grow in the Lord, is that God and His ways are a lot different than the world and its ways. And oftentimes, what seems to be the ideal situation from the human standpoint is not at all the plan or the purpose or the way that God wants to do something. You see, we can so easily mistake things that, well, you know, that's the way I would do it, or that looks like a great thing. We can mistake those things for God's leading, when in actuality, it's not God leading at all. So I have got to come to a new way of looking at things, and that's what he goes on to say next. He says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, we need what you might call a biblical worldview. We need to see the world and life through the lens of God's word. We need to literally have our minds reprogrammed. Because one thing that you discover when you read through the Bible is God never does things the way that people think that he ought to. I was just reading this past week in Judges, and you know the story of Gideon. And perhaps you remember the Midianites are coming up against Israel. And so the Lord appears to Gideon and says, you know, go in this, your strength, you mighty man of valor, and lead Israel to victory over Midian. And Gideon says, I think you have the wrong person. You know, I'm not the right guy for the job. I'm the most insignificant person in my family, and my family is very insignificant in the nation. The Lord says, go and save Israel. So right there, we see God does things totally different than we would expect him to do it. So Gideon gathers an army together. He's going up against a massive army. He gathers an army together of 32,000 people. Now, the army that he was going up against was probably at least 100,000, probably even more. So Gideon gathers together an army of 32,000, and the Lord says, Gideon, the men that are with you are too many. Now, too many? Lord, I didn't think we had enough. No, Gideon, you've got too many men, because if you gain a victory, if I give you the victory because of the number of men you have, Israel will think that they got the victory themselves. He said, so you need to thin the army out. So Gideon says, okay, if you're a little bit apprehensive about going into battle, you can leave. So 22,000 of them leave. So he's left with an army of 10,000. And the Lord comes again and says, Gideon, the men that are with you are still too many. Now this is ridiculous. This is absurd. The Lord says, no, Gideon, they're too many. We need to thin it out. So God gives Gideon a test, and what does he end up with? He ends up with 300 men. He started with 32,000, and it's whittled down to 300. Now, you don't go out and fight an army from the human standpoint of 100,000 or 200,000 or 500,000 or a million or whatever it was. You don't go out and fight an army like that with 300 men. You just don't do it. But that's what God told Gideon to do. And you see, here's the thing. As we read through the Bible, and this is what we're talking about, having our minds renewed, this transformation that's going to take place. As we read through God's word, we start to realize God does things differently. He works differently than we would. He doesn't think like man thinks. He doesn't need the resources that men think they need. We have got to begin to think like that. You see, if I'm going to discover God's perfect will for my life, I have to begin by realizing it's probably going to be something a lot different than I thought. It's probably going to, in some way, be something that I never imagined that I could do. Because that way, God will be able to manifest that it's Him doing it through me. So, we have got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The New Living Translation of that verse is, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. You see, if I'm going to discover God's will for my life, I've got to begin to think differently. Because it's probably not going to be what I thought. So many times a person will get saved and they'll come into the church and they will assume that because of their background or something like that, that, well, this is the way that God's going to use me because in the world I was this and I was successful and, you know, so forth. And you find that they will then venture out and try to be used by God in that way, and they will end up experiencing one frustration over another, and through a process of time, they'll begin to realize, you know, this isn't what God has for me. Sure, I'm capable in this area. Yes, I was very successful doing these kinds of things previously, but this is a whole different story, and God's got a whole different thing for me to do. And I have seen that happen many times over. So you see, we've got to set aside our preconceived ideas and we've got to let God reprogram us with His Word, and we've got to be open to Him doing things that we never would have dreamed that He would do, and we've got to be open to Him doing things with us that we never thought that we could do or would even maybe in some cases want to do. I have a good friend who was at one time the head accountant for a large automobile firm. And today, he still has all the capability of doing that sort of a thing on a corporate level. But you know, the Lord's got him driving a school bus. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, a lot of people would look on and say, oh, wait a second, now what? This is such a waste of talent, such a waste of gifting. How come you're doing that? Well, this is what God's led me to at this time in my life. So God has a specific will. He does have a plan. He does have a vocation. He does have that person. He does have a location, perhaps, that is going to put you right in the center of what He's doing in you and through you. And your task, my task, is to discover what that is. Now, again, I discover it initially by committing myself to the general will. And as I am just committed to the general will, then the specific will starts to unfold. Now, one other thing I would say before I move on and finish up here about the will of God is it's something that is revealed through a process. Here's something that I've noticed. God never tells us the full details of His will up front. He gives us sometimes sort of a vague picture, but He leaves the details to Himself, and then He works them out over a process of time. So when somebody comes to me and says, you know, the Lord showed me that, you know, maybe they're 6 months old in the Lord. The Lord showed me that I'm going to be a great evangelist. I'm going to lead millions to Christ. I'm going to preach in stadiums all over the world with thousands and thousands of people. I'm going to have a radio ministry, and I'm going to build the biggest church in the world and all that. I say, wait a second. I don't think God's speaking that to you. Because God, and we see it biblically, especially, what God does is He leads us sort of one step at a time. And one of the key elements in discovering the will of God is one of the things that none of us like. And that is patience. That is waiting. And sometimes, you know, we just have to wait. We just have to wait and keep doing the thing that God has called us to do, the clear revelation of His will, just allowing that sanctification process to be at work in our lives, doing what is right, having the right attitude, being thankful. And as time goes on, the Lord just begins to move us. And sometimes it seems so slow, but he's going to get us to where he wants us to be. And then Paul describes this as the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me touch on that real quickly. It is good because it is good for you. The will of God is good. Some people have been deceived and have thought that, no, God's will isn't good. God's will isn't best. And if that's God's will, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. Listen, God's will is good. And even when you can't understand it, and even at times when it doesn't seem like it's all that good, because from your perspective, it just doesn't look like the thing that you were expecting or the thing that you wanted, know this, you can trust that God's will is good. It is the good will of God. It is good for you. It is the best place that you can possibly be. Now, I've had times in my life as a Christian where it hasn't been all that pleasurable, my circumstances. But, you know, you can have those kinds of circumstances regardless of whether you're a Christian, right? But the thing about being a Christian and the thing about knowing about the will of God is that even when my circumstances are less than pleasurable, I have deep within me this settled contentment that, well, at least I know I'm in the will of God. And so I can rest and say, you know, even though I don't necessarily like this at this moment, this is right. It must be right. It's good. I can't see the good in it right this second, but I know that 6 months from now or a year from now or 5 years from now, I'll look back and I'll say, I could see God's plan in that. It was good. It's the good will of God. Secondly, he refers to it as the acceptable will, or you can translate that word pleasing. You see, this is how we please the Lord. By seeking his will and living in his will. It's the pleasing will of God. We please God as we submit ourselves to his will. And I think that that's, at the end of the day, at the top of the priority list. I want to please God. We're not here to please ourselves. If I'm seeking to please myself, I'll never please God. But if the Bible teaches us anything, it teaches us to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, follow Jesus, and not to please ourselves, but ultimately to seek to please him. And by pursuing and submitting to his will, that pleases him. But then he refers to it as the perfect will of God. And it's the perfect will of God because it is the very thing that you were created for. You cannot possibly improve on that. You cannot possibly improve on being in that place and doing the very thing that God created you to do. You see, that's the ultimate. And I know from personal experience, as I said, over the years, I have spent much time in prayer and contemplation and pondering and wondering, you know, Lord, is this your will? And sometimes it's been weeks or months or maybe even years to really grasp. You know, yeah, this is it. But here's what I can say. I find that as I'm in the center of God's will, where I try to remain, I find that this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I was created for. God might be saying to you, you know, it's time to pack up and head out. Oh, but no, Lord, but you know, you don't understand. I've been here all my life and all my friends and family and everything. God's saying, no, I've got something else for you. Oh, but I can't see that. But you know what? Take that step of faith because there's something good there for you. That will please God and you will get there and you will find out that, oh, this is it. This is, yes, now I can see it. You see, oftentimes we can't see it on this side. So this is where faith comes in. We've got to take the step of faith. God appears to Abraham and he says, get away from your family, leave them behind, leave your country, go to a place that I'm going to show you. And that was it. That was all the revelation he got. And that's what he went on. He took God at his word, he went, and he found that when he got there, there was that blessing. He was in that place. It's the perfect will of God. I want to close with this. Paul stated it, another way in Ephesians 2:10. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. The Greek word poema. We translate our English word poem from that. But the Greek word doesn't necessarily mean poem like we think of a poem. The Greek word actually means a masterpiece or a work of art. But of course, what is a work of art? What is a poem? What is a masterpiece? It is the expression. It's the out-telling of the heart and the mind of the artist. And this is such a beautiful picture to me. We are God's masterpiece. We are his work of art. And what he is wanting to do through our lives as we submit to him and by getting into the center of his will, he wants ultimately to express himself through us. And he has prepared, before the world ever was, he's prepared things for us to walk in. But I believe the picture here is that he's prepared things for us to walk into. How do I get into the perfect will of God? You know, I kind of just walk into it. As I walk with him, he leads me into it. I like the picture of floating down a stream, floating down a river. Have you ever done that? You just get yourself in the current, you just float down and it's effortless. You don't have to do anything because the current takes you. When I was a kid, we'd go to the Kern River, the Colorado River, and then, you know, there are times I just remember you'd just be floating, maybe in an inner tube or, you know, maybe just floating down without anything like that. But you're floating along and then you come along to these little pond areas where the current sort of, you know, subsides a bit. You can easily just swim over into the pond and maybe get out and, you know, sunbathe or whatever you wanted to do there. And then you just go back out, get in the current. It takes you further down the river. That's how I see what Paul is saying here. We just fall back into the arms of the Lord. We just say, "Lord, oh, I just give, here I am. Just take me, just like that river would take me. Lord, I'm just falling back into you and into your will. I'm surrendering my will. I'm not going to fight or resist you." And God will take us, and he takes us down this river. And then we come to a place where, oh, here's some good works here. I want you to walk into these. And we just walk into them. And then we accomplish those things. Then we're back out in the current again. And there we go downstream until we come to the next thing. In some ways, the will of God is a very easy thing to get into. And in one sense, it's unavoidable as long as we're completely surrendered. I do not believe you can miss the will of God unless you try to, unless you intend to, unless you resist it. But if you just open yourself up, just lay yourself back in that flow of the Spirit and say, "Lord, take me, I'm yours," God's going to lead you into that good, that pleasing, and that perfect will. Walk with Jesus. Have an attitude of thanksgiving, and God himself will direct you into those good things that he long ago prepared for you to accomplish. He will lead you in to his perfect will for your life.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called "This is the Will of God," and the resource number is OBB483. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.